Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. 'Cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. Strangely enough, recording on Thursday, August 25, 20. I wrote down 2025, but let's say it's 2022 for your listening pleasure on Friday. That's right. This is this month's bonus episode. Normally we come out every week on Mondays, but this is an extra episode and we've got three terrific guests to participate. We talked them into it and they are Brandon Collins, Allison Rosen, and Jessica M. Thompson. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's meet everybody individually and, as usual, alphabetically, starting with Brandon Collins is back. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, guys? Doing pretty good over here.
Yeah, you're our returning champion from the last episode. So you've been a champion for like 4 days now, something like that.
Yep, I got a new haircut and everything. I'm ready.
Oh, really? Yep. You went out and got the champion haircut. I love it. Let me ask you a question, Brandon. You're a Rotten Tomatoes critic.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean that you sit around criticizing Rotten Tomatoes. It means that you're one of the chosen few who they put blurbs or and then links to the full review of your reviews.
Yes.
So my question is, and maybe you won't know it offhand, and that's okay if you don't, but is there a film that you know of that you have given, you know, like what's the worst reviewed film? Like what's the one that you gave the lowest or the worst review to, I should say, because they assign numbers to it. Your reviews don't have scale of 1 to 10 or anything, right?
Depending on how your ratings on your show or your publication do it, there is a scale that you can enter in Rotten Tomatoes in the back end.
Oh, I see.
But usually I just pick rotten or approved tomato or whatever. I would say maybe the worst review would be either Substitute or The Happening.
Okay. Well, yeah, The Happening, I think, is a classic terrible movie.
I would go with The Substitute just because it's like our review is pretty scathing. That movie's so insane. But then for some reason, there's tens of thousands of views on our YouTube page for it. And it's all these foreign people that are like commenting and being mad at us about how much we trashed the movie. So I don't know. Maybe I was wrong there, but that's probably the the most scathing review we posted.
What? I don't even know what the substitute is. Who's in that?
With Tom Berenger, a young Mark Anthony who still looks sick. It's just bonkers.
I vaguely remember it. What's that?
I'm going to go on Rotten Tomatoes just to read this scathing review. That's going to be the highlight.
Now I'm remembering what the movie was. There was like a genre of teachers that take care of business.
Yes, yes.
Like when shit goes south in the classroom, there's some badass teachers. Like Sam Jackson had one, I think. And
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yep.
Schwarzenegger, all of course. Yeah, so that was a genre for a bit. I'm glad we've moved on from that. And thank you for being here, Brandon.
Absolutely.
Also joining us today, it's been a minute, so I'm very excited to have everyone's new best friend back. It's Allison Rosen.
Hello. Listen, I don't want to start off on a bad foot. The wrong foot is actually the phrase, but I already feel that I've been maligned because if we had been doing alphabetical by first name, then you would have started with me. But you've made the arbitrary decision to go by last name. Doug, what do you have to say for yourself?
I say that anytime a bunch of names are listed by the first name, that's not a serious alphabetizing because, you know, generally everybody's alphabetized by their last name throughout their entire existence, unfortunately. And you're an interesting one because Rosen and the letter R, you know, there's plenty of big letters following yours. I mean, we got a T with us today.
Right.
So, you know, but there is, you're right about that. It's kind of unfairly arbitrary, but when you have three guests, I can't flip a coin to decide who to talk to first.
You know, oftentimes I enjoy a privilege. And so it was a real slap in the face to just be, you know, tossed in the middle, I guess. But
do they alphabetize by first name?
Look, I don't.
Because like, if you're on a guest list at an event, they don't list it by your first name. They list it by your last name.
I know. You're right. And it pains me to admit it. You know, but you're right.
At the DMV, when you get in the line that says R through W or whatever.
No, it's in your less.
That's because it's your last
in
name.
In your less serious opportunities in life. You're right. It's in joking, unserious, frivolous situations. They will go by first name. Summer camp, let's say.
I think, and, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. So here's the deal. I'm gonna call it the Allison Rosen Amendment or whatever. It doesn't really need a name, but moving forward, I'm going to alphabetize everybody by their first name.
Oh my God, I love it! Finally, justice for my people.
And it adds to the arbitrariness of it. You know what I mean? Because like my friend Jeremiah Watkins, who always has to go last,
yes.
is suddenly vaulted into probably somewhere in the middle. But I've had shows where all three guests, you know, are like, you know, two B's and a C or something. Like it's crazy how random it is because I'm not booking guests based on their last name. I'm booking them based on things
their first
like this.
Name.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this, Allison?
Ready. Lay it on me.
There's a guest joining us today because her well-reviewed movie. I mean, the reviews don't concern me because it just came out. But nonetheless, it's well-reviewed and it's out right now. The opening date is Friday, August 26th. And we have the director and co-writer of a motion picture called The Invitation. It's Jessica M. Thompson. Hello.
Why, hello. Why, thank you. I was a little thrown as well, Allison, with what was the running order. I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be third regardless. But there we go.
It turns out either way, yes, both of your initials are third in this one, but you're still, you know, tied for, you know, everybody at this point in the show. you have lost nothing. And what I'd like to do now is hear your, I know you've done tons of interviews, so you probably have like a, you know, one sentence or a paragraph description of your movie that also doesn't spoil it.
Yes, I won't spoil it. I promise.
Some filmmakers say too much.
I know they do,
enough.
And in some interviews, I do. It depends on what we're embracing. I always let you run with that. If you tell me no spoilers, I will not spoil.
Yeah.
So it's a young woman. She's an artist hustling in New York City, and she's recently lost her mother. And she does a DNA test and finds out she has a long lost relative, and that long lost relative invites her to a wedding. Fully paid trip, and things go awry.
Yeah, I think we were assuming that last part, because how weird of a movie would that be? She goes and has a lovely time.
Yeah, that's it. There is no story.
Could be a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it is one.
Well, we are definitely subverting that rom-com idea of the, you know, the destination wedding that you see sent up in a lot of romances and a lot of comedies, but we decided to put a horror twist on it.
I can't wait.
Very good thing. So I'm excited to watch it.
How scary is it? I know without spoiling it for someone like me, who's like a total wimp. How scary are we talking?
It's up there, but I would say I'm more of a fan of building tension than I am of, you know, there are a couple of jump scares. I won't, you know,
Jesus.
Sorry to say, but the vast majority is more about, you know, squirming in your seat, knowing that something is going down and that you're ahead of the lead type thing.
Got it.
So yeah, don't worry. It's more of a tension building Hitchcockian type thing.
Ooh, that sounds good.
If I'm allowed to compare myself to Hitchcock.
I mean, we could turn to the rating for like some guidance, because it's a PG-13.
Yes,
correct?
But the R version is coming out later.
Oh, ooh. Wow. I love that. I love seeing a PG-13 knowing that I'm going to get to see the R at another point. Because it really did come down to cuts you would rather have not made, but for financial reasons, like it seemed like it would make more money if it was a PG-13.
Yeah, basically when the audience wants something and you get all these 13 to 18-year-olds who are like, we want to watch this film. You're like, okay, I'm going to listen to you. I'm not making a film in a vacuum, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I really, you know, I love the R version. I love both versions. And then now that I know that A Quiet Place is PG-13, and I think that's one of the scariest films in the last, you know, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you can, it's a challenge, right? It's like, how can you still make things elevated and scary while limiting the amount of gore? And I appreciated the challenge.
That's, I always go to, you know, to me, there's very few examples who do it very well. And one of those for me would be Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell.
Absolutely.
Ooh, and that's
I think the first Insidious is PG-13 as well.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because that's what it comes down to is the creepiness as opposed to bloody violence. Yeah,
what is the content that makes it R?
Bloodshed, it seems like.
Not just blood. It's the... Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes.
You can only have one fuck.
Uh-huh.
So I had six and I had to cut them down. And the sex scene also got cut by more than a quarter, more than three quarters, sorry. Yeah. So those are it. And then we cut out a little bit of gore. But it wasn't actually as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh, the having to make the cuts?
Yeah, like as in I actually thought it would, you know, PG-13 to me sounds like a little, like a family film or something. I'm like, oh, this is fine. Kids today, they watch everything. So it's actually, you know, to me, it's still scary as all hell with those guidelines in place. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to wait for the $6.
this situation these days is so interesting that when you're making a motion picture that's going to be theatrically distributed, you know, there's all this concern about PG and PG-13 and R and whatnot, and like movies that go straight to streaming or movies that were in theaters and now they're on streaming, it just feels like any streaming service, I don't think what the ratings are is their focus at all. It's all just title and poster and who's in it, and then people click on it. So it's wild how I think the landscape's going to change in
For sure.
What's that?
I think it's kind of cool that you get to choose, you know, at home. Wouldn't that be great if you wanted to watch, you know, something with the family and you had some older teenagers that you put on the PG-13 version? And then I think that would be incredible if we could choose, you know, each time we click on something.
But it feels like a lot of these horror movies they're making for streaming, they just show up on streaming with no you know, like it's not like when you're looking at movies to see in a theater, the rating is generally put somewhere very clearly, you know, and in streaming, it's more like all of the warnings are just verbal, like nudity and violence. Totally. Or whatever.
I mean, I was young, I definitely watched some films well before I should have. I was the youngest of four. I don't know about you guys, but I watched, you know, so of many course. Things. I remember watching Clockwork Orange when I was like 10 and I was like, nope, that was too young. Like, but now I feel like, you know, people today, like you said, on streaming, they can watch anything. So there you go.
Yeah, it's really, really up for grabs. And but go see The Invitation in the theater, because that must be exciting for you as a filmmaker to actually be in theaters, because so many movies are skipping that step.
Oh, absolutely. And we've done, you know, the sound design and music and score are so important to me. And you know, I'm always someone who's like more bass, more subwoofer. So I think seeing it in the cinema is the true spectacle. You know, that 4K projection and that Dolby Atmos all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to see it in a theater. Thank you for being here. Thank everybody for being here today. We're going to play some, you know, movie trivia sort of games that I make up. But before we do that, I like to take a stroll through Recommendation Nation. That's where I ask each one of my guests to recommend a movie. And of late, I decided to theme it so that I'll tell you what kind of movie I'm talking about, and then you give me a recommendation that fits that category. And kind of fitting in with the horror theme that we've been discussing, it turns out that Tim Burton is celebrating a birthday today. So my question for the three of you is, what is your favorite, or can you recommend, like, which one do you think people would enjoy the most, Tim Burton movie? And we'll start with Brandon, even though Allison likes to go first.
I do like to go first. Yet again, it's like, is anyone hearing me?
Okay, Allison, this time you can go first.
Thank you.
What would you like to recommend from the great Tim Burton?
So my son is obsessed with Nightmare Before Christmas. And so I have become someone who has the music stuck in my head all the time.
It's incredible.
And you my one.
Yes, oh, no.
That's why I had to go first.
Yeah. I jotted down a few just because I like to say one after everybody's made their picks. And I love that that one is a universal favorite amongst all four of us, because there's just something about that movie. I don't know what it is, but because hardly anything happens over the course of it.
Oh, but it's so emotional. I get so emotional. Yes,
It's the emotion. That's what it is. That's what really.
And the music.
The music's beautiful and catchy and very earwormy. Mm-hmm. So Allison is just stuck with it in her life.
Yes. And I just listened to the episode of that podcast Song Exploder, where Danny Elfman comes on and talks about, now I'm forgetting which song, which is really pertinent to the story, but it's either This Is Halloween or What Is This? And that was a really interesting episode as well. Not to recommend other podcasts, because people should only listen to podcasts hosted by people on this episode of Doug Loves Movies. Or just Doug Loves Movies. But anyway, yeah, so that's mine, and I'm sorry if I stole everyone else's.
Well, I do not mind everyone saying the same thing, but if anybody has a different one, of course you can offer it up. But Allison really snaked it with this whole, this whole fun protest, this alphabetical order protest. Really put her in the catbird seat. But Brandon, what's another Tim Burton?
Man, that really sucks, is my wife is going to be mad that I didn't get Nightmare Before Christmas. That's her favorite movie. I took her to go Barclays
Suck
Center.
It, wife.
Damn, like Danny Elfman do the music live at Barclays Center with like the cat. It was incredible. But anyways, I'm going to go with, and this is going to be really weird, I'm going with Batman Returns, because I remember seeing that opening night in the movie theater. And it was the first time when I'd seen a theater so packed out that people were sitting in the aisles. And two, it opens with Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman, and his wife dumping their deformed child into the water, into the sewers of Gotham City. And just as like a 6-year-old kid, I was like, they can do movies like this. So it's had a lot lasting impression on me. And I think that that's, it's really a signature Tim Burton in regards to set pieces, costume design. I think it's a great film.
Well, there you go. I mean, that was a glowing review for your second choice. So I hope your wife is, you know, going to be okay. I think the two of you will get through it. Jessica, what's yours?
I mean, yes, The Nightmare Before Christmas is like one of my favorite films. I love the lyrics. I think it's beautiful. But I'm going to be cliche and say Edward Scissorhands. It's a classic. And that scene where Winona Ryder's spinning in the snow and he slashes her, I just love it. I think it's beautiful.
That's so
it's
creepy, perfect. But yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, probably the most visually sumptuous Tim Burton, but they're all like his, you know, that's job one with him is like everything looks so cool in all of his movies. And there's so many that we could have gotten into, but I just want to, you know, for the fun of it, I'm just going to go back to, you know, the one that started it all. Before Pee-wee started dumping babies into rivers, into sewers, he of course had an adventure where he was trying to find his bicycle. And so Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Tim Burton's first feature film, I would say is still to this day my favorite Tim Burton movie.
Amazing.
So many things that are just quoted by people in life from that movie. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of, if somebody mentions the Alamo for some reason, I can't not think about it. There is no basement in the Alamo. I can't not think of that. And if you're around somebody who hasn't seen that movie, you know, they're not going to know what the hell you're talking about. But thank you for all of these recommendations of Tim Burton movies. Happy birthday to Tim Burton. He's an avid listener, so it's happy to give him a shout. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. And were those messages important enough for you? Let's play a game that we've played a bunch of times on the show. Allison may have played it before because it's been around for a little while. And maybe even Brandon's played it. It's called How Long Is It? And basically, this is how the game works. I'll name a thing. Each of you will guess how long it is. And whoever gets closest without going over Price is Right style is the winner of the game.
Amazing. Oh my God. I'm so ready for this.
Hope everyone knows I'm highly competitive, but also very terrible at all the games. So here we go.
Also, I feel this is a really subjective take because how long did that movie feel?
Oh, yeah.
It's very different to how long it really is.
It's a different thing every time, but here's the weird part is it always has something to do with Tom Hanks. I don't know why. I just have a personal fascination with Tom Hanks. And so here it is. how long is the amount each day on average that Tom Hanks spent in the makeup chair to become grotesque Colonel Tom Parker in Baz Luhrmann's Elvis? And Allison, you get to go first.
Hoist on my own petard. I was just watching this movie and wow, so much happening there. And also that accent, not how the real Colonel Parker spoke, but I'm going to guess.
Was the real Tom Parker in his, because you see him over from like 40 to 80 over the course of the movie, right?
So I haven't seen the whole movie, but that sounds but right.
That's what I've heard. Yes. Okay. Have you seen it, Brandon?
Yeah, yeah. I saw it.
Okay.
You see him throughout the whole, yeah, the whole.
Yeah, he ages quite a bit over the course of it.
Yeah.
And prosthetics the whole time, though. He's never like a young Tom Hanks looking dude. Know,
he's never seen that guy.
Yeah. And
he's always packing on the pounds
the whole time.
But wasn't the real Colonel Tom Parker just kind of normal size until late in his life? Or am I just...
Oh,
I don't know enough about the Colonel. I know about Elvis, though.
And his, I just always, you know, I grew up knowing about Elvis and that he had this, you know, manager, Colonel Tom Parker, yeah, who was, you know, clearly a lunatic, or, you know, there's lots of wild stories about him and that he was, you know, and you know, of course, the guy who discovered Elvis, that's a pretty cool credit to have. Mm-hmm. And but I don't think he was... I don't think he's how Tom Hanks plays. I will say, though,
with Austin Butler, they didn't let him get too fat towards the end. He still looked pretty good at the end of that film. Do you agree, Brandon?
He definitely looked decent. They got as close to Austin Butler looking like Elvis during that final performance as mm-hmm. I would applaud the makeup. Like, actually watching the real footage of Elvis, I thought they did a good job. Still made him look pretty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Tom Hanks as Colonel Parker looks like Martin Short in Pure Luck when he gets stung by a bee.
It does. It's
a timely reference.
It's cartoony looking to me. It looks like it's speaking of that exact reference. It looks like Jiminy Glick.
Yes. That's the better reference.
I think it's like a Danny DeVito, the Penguin. Like, I think it was.
Yeah, that too. That's true.
It was creepy like that.
So yeah. So without going over, I'm going to guess 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Okay.
Brandon, you go next.
3 hours.
Oh, no. Do I go next because Brandon's got the champion, reigning champion?
No, we'll go Brandon next because we're, you know, the reverse alphabetical order, okay, gotcha. Or not reverse.
Allison Amendment.
Yeah. The Allison Amendment is
3 hours. Allison, you said 3 hours and 40 minutes?
I did.
I'm just going to...
Don't you dare.
3.5 hours.
Oh!
That was so specific. I'm like, let me just...
Oh my God. You bastard.
I mean, he could have also done the like Price is Right things at 3 hours and 41 minutes and really screwed you over.
That's true.
Yeah, give you only that 1 minute window to be correct.
Right. Yeah.
Jessica, we got 3:40 and 3.5, otherwise known as 3:30, I guess. What do you think?
Brendan stole my one again.
I'm good. Really? You would have gone 3.5.
I would have gone
3.5.
So I'm going to say 3.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry how this turned out, because exactly what you suggested, Jessica, originally, the 3.5 hours is the amount. And Brandon snaked it, but Allison, so close.
Thank you.
To taking it. All three of you did terrific work here. You know, that's what I always, you know, have heard and experienced with, you know, movie sets, is that the prosthetic makeup thing, you know, generally 4 hours. If it's like Elephant Man, then it's like 6 or 7 because it's so much stuff, body stuff too.
Yeah, we put Thomas Doherty in pretty heavy prosthetics, not giving away what happens at the end. But and that took 4 hours. So that's what made me think.
There you go.
It's a little bit less than what we did with him. So I was thinking 3.5 was about right.
Yeah.
Well done, Brendan. Well played.
It takes longer than you want it to take when production's waiting. And and for the person having it done to them, it's I find it to be absolute torture. But actors that are good with that stuff, obviously, are you know, they're gonna work.
Didn't Jim Carrey say like his Grinch makeup took like an hour or something like that?
I don't know, but however long it took, I remember he was very, very unhappy about it. And I thought, did he just not remember making the mask? Because he had lots of prosthetics in the mask, and you know, many years before. But I guess Grinch was just way more uncomfortable because it's like head to toe, whereas mask was a lot of vision, you know, a lot of post effects and stuff. But anyway, congratulations to Brandon for narrowly winning that game. But guess what? All he wins is he's the one that definitely has to go first in our next game that we are going to play after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back. Brandon Collins won that last game in a squeaker, so close, and he gets to go first.
Oh boy.
In our next game and our last game. This is going to determine a winner today. And before I describe our game, I have a question. Have any of you seen Prey on Hulu?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
No.
You have? Jessica, have you seen it?
Not yet. It's on my list for this weekend.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna have a good weekend. Your movie's out, you get to see Prey.
Yeah,
and Allison, are you familiar with this movie at all?
No, I'm having trouble placing it. I feel like I've heard it, but I can't remember what it is.
It's the latest in the Predator series, but really a departure because it takes place you know, before modern times.
Yep.
It's a period film. And also a young Indian girl is the one to fucking, you know, step in and kick the Predator's ass or try
and
to.
And also, isn't it in a Native American language?
A lot of it is, yes.
Comanche or something like that?
Yeah, with subtitles.
Amazing.
But not, you know, I don't think it's like subtitles beginning to end.
Oh, good.
But there are.
It's not Apocalypto in that, you know.
Yeah,
it
doesn't go full Apocalypto.
But a majority of the cast are indigenous, so it's very dope in regards to representation.
Yeah, extremely dope. Was that in your review?
We have another review yet. That's coming out next month.
But I hope so. I hope Prey is extremely dope.
Well, I've heard great things. I mean, I'm a big fan of the OG Predator, and I've hated all the new Predator versus Alien, terrible. So I feel like this is like very much a departure from those ones and goes back to the roots, which I think is really cool.
Well, this is exciting because I think you're really going to enjoy this game that I devised in honor of celebrating Prey and what I feel. I think Prey is like, for me, the best Predator movie. But, you know, that's just my opinion. But the game is called The or Them. I'll say something like a factoid, a fun fact. And then the answer to the question I'm looking for from each of you is, does that fact apply to the motion picture that they made in 2010 called Predators, or the 2018 version called The Predator? So, most confusing titles in the business.
Oh boy.
or both. So each of these facts will apply to the predators from 2010. So the answer is either predators or the predator or both. And the first person that I go to will be Brandon. He'll get to guess. If he gets it wrong, then from the remaining two options is what Jessica gets to choose from. And if she misses it, Allison gets the gimme point, because it'll be obvious which one. And whenever somebody gets one right, the next the next person in line starts on the next one. We'll play a few rounds, and then we'll say, yay, we have a winner.
Let's do it.
Okay. Brandon, you ready?
Sure.
I can give you some time if you need it.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Let's do it.
Okay. Has an Academy Award-winning actor in it?
Oh, okay. That's Predators, because that's Adrian Brody.
You think Adrian Brody and Predators
would
make it the answer, and that there's no one that's won an Academy Award in The Predator?
That's a good question.
That's why both is an option. I just want to make sure you weren't, missing that.
No, I'm gonna go with my initial one, Predators, because I'm thinking about the Predator and the cast, as great as they are, I don't think anyone has an Oscar.
Okay. You got it. That is correct. The answer is Predators. Congratulations. You're on the board, Brandon, with 1 point.
Cool.
Now we move to Jessica. Oh, God. You get a brand new one. Did you know that one, Jessica?
No, not at all. I have not watched either of these films.
They're both terrible, Jess. They're both terrible.
I was thinking they look both pretty bad.
That's so funny that there were enough garbage Predator movies that it just turned you off to...
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd say these two certainly are very, I think, are quite flawed, but also better than, what was happening, early on. And then the Versus movie, of course, was terrible.
The Versus was the only one I did see and I thought was just atrocious.
Yeah, so bad. So that just ruins it for all the Predators. But interestingly enough, Predators with an S not only has Adrian Brody in it, but also Mahershala Ali.
What?
Who so has two Oscars. Two freaking Oscars, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in it.
I do not remember him. I just remember Lawrence Fishburne's crazy ass.
So you're telling me Predators, does Lawrence Fishburne have an Oscar?
No, he was nominated, but okay. He didn't. But I just think it,
King of Scotland? That's what I was
thinking. Forest Whitaker.
Oh my God, I'm so terrible. But how does Predators have three Oscars between it? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that was the thing when Predators came out. It was another one of those ones where the reviews kind of tricked me into seeing it, because they were really like, no, this one's got, Predators back on track with Predators. And, it stars Adrian Brody. He did definitely kind of class it up. And then, of course, I don't think it turned out great. But, Brandon said, that question was devised to confuse a little bit because of the fact that the other film might have somebody in a small role that went on to win an Oscar. You just never know. Unless you know, like Brando. Jessica, which one or both, Predators or both, has someone from the cast of Boogie Nights in it?
I mean, this is just such a guess. Now that I feel like Predators has every single incredible star, I feel like, is it Marky Mark is in one of them? Oh my gosh. I'm gonna have to say Predators, just because it seems Adrian Brody. I just feel like someone's, no. Who else is in it? No, I'm gonna say, oh, maybe. Oh my God, that would be so crazy if it was both. I'm gonna say Predators.
Predators is your final answer.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that is not the answer we're looking for. Allison?
Okay. Now,
Allison, it's narrowed down to The Predator or both of these films.
Now, let me just get a little something straight. The Predator Which, okay, Predators. You know, I totally know. I'm just a misdirect. Predators came out in 2010 or 2010. And The Predator is 2018.
Yes.
And so I am, and I'm sorry, which one just got ruled out?
We just ruled out Predators.
Okay, so it's either the 2018 one that has the Boogie Nights person, or it's both.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Do I swing for the fences and say both? Like Jessica said, that'd be wild if it was that. But I'm gonna go with the simpler answer, and I hope I'm not playing it too safe. I'm gonna say The Predator, 2018. Final answer.
A Predator is your final answer. I wish I had dramatic music.
We use it on my show. I should just send the file to you. Well, your long pause is making me question myself, but yeah, that is my final answer.
Yeah, the long pauses are just because I'm doing too many things at once.
Okay.
I really should. I should be. Forget it. I was going to make a dumb joke, but anyway.
Yeah, that's my final answer.
Final answer. I have trouble reaching for the correct sound effect is my issue.
I get it.
I don't want to screw it up. Your final answer is
The Predator.
The Predator. You did it. Oh! You did it.
What an frightening but exhilaratingly frightening.
Can we guess who the actor is now?
I know who the actor is.
Yeah, you can if you want. I would tell you if nobody did know. Who is it, Brandon?
It's Thomas Jane, right?
Thomas Jane, who in that scene with the firecrackers and the drug deals on a ride, Boogie Nights is one of the greatest sequences of ever.
Brilliant.
Speaking of Marky Mark, I mean, that guy, Mark Wahlberg, you know, he's a perfectly fine actor and he's in good movies, but man, Boogie Nights, like, he's never going to top it.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. Okay, so we got Allison's got a point now, and Brandon's got a point, and...
And I have nothing.
So you have opportunity. You have opportunity. Coming your way very soon. Brandon's first on this next round, right? You were after Allison.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I knew that. Just checking. All right. Here's the factoid. This is 1 hour and 47 minutes long.
1 hour and 47 minutes.
Yeah. Is that the Predator, Predators, or both movies are 1 hour and 47 minutes?
Shit. I remember them both being pretty short. Man, that'd be risky though. You know what? Let's put it all in, baby. Both.
You're pushing it all in and saying that both of these movies, you're saying that they just both happen to be 1 hour and 47 is like two Predator movies that were made 8 years apart.
I just remember them both being under 2 hours because I remain happy that I didn't have to spend more time in the theater.
Right. They were doing you a favor by keeping it a little tighter.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the classic horror movies are like 90 minutes. I never understand a two and a half hour horror movie, but you know, what are you going to do? I guess you're getting more for your money. But if you're locking in that you think both of those movies are an hour 47, That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now. You're locking it in.
Yeah.
This is, if you get this, it's for the win.
Doug, that's my final answer. You're rising my anxiety, bro. I'm not going to take it back.
Okay. That is correct,
Brandon. Oh, no wonder you're the champion.
Yeah, you're a genius.
My God. Yeah,
he just keeps going. The last time, didn't you have like another streak of like five wins in a row?
Yeah, like five in a row, yeah.
Yeah. And you're this is win number three this time?
This is two. The new two? Round.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how you do moving forward into the future. Can you join us again this Sunday, do you think?
We'll talk offline.
Let's leave it a cliffhanger. It'll be a cliffhanger. Maybe you'll be there, but you'll definitely be back soon. Cool. And you get to do your plugs first. What would you like to plug?
Oh, yeah. Well, first, Justin, Allison, it was a pleasure. I'm sorry, Allison. I know I could feel the heat from the Zoom. But folks, you can follow me at American Collins on all social media platforms, AmericanCollins.com. I have shows in New York because I'm here for extra week. And then also in L.A., which I'll be returning to at the end of the month. So please come out if you're in those markets. And just check out my movie podcast, Medium Popcorn. It's available on all podcast applications, Spotify, all that good stuff. And thank you again, Doug, for having me on, man.
Thank you for doing it. And I need to point out, there's a chance you might just be on the show permanently. You might just keep winning and be on it all the time. So you might, in your plugs, you might want to start mentioning that you're on Doug Loves Movies.
I'll be back next week, guys.
I've got a fun idea before we get to everyone else's stuff they want to plug and we wrap this thing up. I think this whole Predators thing is kind of an interesting, you know, that all these movies exist and that they have so many weird little wrinkles to them. I have two more of these that I've prepared. Would you like to play them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. And we're going to, and of course, Jessica's going to go first.
It's my time. Yeah. It's my time to shine.
this is a redemption situation. Let's see what you can do with this one. Which one, the Predator or Predators or both, has the guy who killed John Wick's dog in it?
Oh my god.
Do you remember which actor killed
I can remember John his face, Wick's but I dog? Can't think of.
And then which or both of those movies would he?
I mean, let's be serious. Both of these, I've never seen either of these movies. So therefore, I've seen John Wick, obviously, but that doesn't help me because I haven't seen the other two films.
I didn't think that through when I was like, let's do the rest of these, is that you'd have the same.
I'm going to flip a coin here.
Yeah. Ding. I love it.
Okay. And it is The Predator.
That is correct.
You did it, Jessica. Oh
my gosh. My spidey senses are really on key.
I try to tell people anybody can win on Doug Loves Movies. And this is proof because without having seen either of the films, you sussed it out somehow. And the actor he's becoming bigger and bigger now because of Game of Thrones and stuff.
Yeah, Theon, right?
Alfie Allen.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Oh, Alfie. That's right, it's Alfie.
Billy
yeah.
Allen's brother. Wait, I didn't know he was the bad guy in John Wick. And I have a question.
Yes.
Do you go by Jess or Jessica? Have I been calling you the wrong name the entire show?
I go
show?
By Jess, but it's okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's totally fine.
Doug, release this? Basically,
I mean, I did it too. I also kept saying Jessica.
Only when you're, so sorry.
Only when you're angry at me, you're allowed to call me Jessica.
I'm so, this is all Doug's fault because I asked him earlier who the other guests were going to be and it's Doug's fault.
I mean, let's Doug be serious. Right it's there. Really my publicist's fault.
Yeah,
that works
well,
for
that's
me.
The other that thing. I mean, I guess it's good that we're not referring to you as Jessica M.
Yeah, I know. You know, I have to say, the first time when I worked with F. Murray Abram, I was like, do I call him F? What do I call him? So I just called him Mr. Abram. And then he was like, call me Murray. I was like, okay, sure. I was like, yeah, that makes things complicated when people go by
me. Yeah, but how freaking warm of an individual. What a nice guy that dude is.
Oh no, he is so sweet. He's like one of the sweetest people. And he will do whatever accent you have. So he was in Australian the whole day.
Oh, okay.
Which normally would annoy me, but not when it's F. Murray Abraham.
Right? Then it's just like, wow, I'm watching this guy do me. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Jessica, let's continue the streak. Let's see if you can get
Jess.
To the
It's Jess, mate. We just went through this. Jesus. Unless you're angry at me. Gosh.
All right. And I haven't called Brandon Brando the whole episode, which is why I call him that sometimes for fun. Okay. Here it is, Jay.
Love it.
Has someone from a regular from that 70s show in it? Predators, the Predator, or both?
Once again, I'm going to be guessing. And I'm going to guess the other one because I'm going to do Predators.
Predators with an S.
With an S.
No,
just the Predators one.
It's interesting. Like in a book of movie reviews, alphabetically, it would be Predators and then Predators, comma, the.
Exactly.
That. So that's your answer. Predators. Predator, the.
Predators.
Predators. Okay. I'm trying to trick you into
changing. You are trying to trick me.
Yeah. Predators with an S from 2010. That is correct. Maybe that should be your go-to in the future in competition to say, well, can we just start from after the competition is over?
Yeah, exactly.
That is and when then I'll win. I shine.
That's who is when it? Who, which actor is it? Which
that particular one was, Topher Grace.
Brennan, your knowledge is insane.
I'm a nerd.
I love it.
This character has a terrible twist that like just made me so furious when I saw it in the theater.
What did
Topher Grace's character arc like? It's just way it wraps. I was like, I hate this.
Yeah,
not he even has an arc. I mean, that's shocking that he even
has an arc. Yeah, I'm being generous.
So both of these movies are super bad.
They're bad-ish. I'd say they're not. They're not great, but I think both of them have, especially The Predator, was written and directed by Shane Black.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And Fred Decker, who did the, what's that thing called? The kid movie with the ghosts. Squad. And
Monster Squad?
Fred Decker did Monster Squad.
Maybe that's the redeeming one.
It's got a better cast. I will definitely say that. Like, even though Predators has an Oscar winner, The Predator was a little bit more fun. It gets really wonky.
But Keegan-Michael Key is in it. That's always a plus. And it's not terrible, but it's I wanted it to be better because I really liked The Nice Guys and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Like, I'm just a big Shane Black fan, so like in that sense it disappointed me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I mean, but we're all watching Prey. You guys think Prey is fantastic. Me and Allison are going to watch Prey.
That's right.
Yeah. There we go. If you can't see The Invitation this weekend, you're stuck at home or something, then watch, definitely see Prey. And is there anything else you'd like to mention, Jessica, about The Invitation before we go?
No, I just think it's, it's one of those films that I think is better seen in the cinema, and go out and go see it. It's got Natalie Emanuel, Thomas Doherty. It's an origin story of a bride of Dracula, which I think hasn't been done before. And I'd love to hear what all of you think.
I think it's great already. Just the trailers. I don't watch entire trailers. Good. I watch until I know whether I'm going to see the movie or not.
That's what I do too. I watch the first. I went,
this looks solid. Off.
Yeah. I watch the first 20 seconds. I'm like, that's enough. That's enough. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Absolutely, because it does kind of line up that the end of the trailer is probably, if it is going to ruin anything, it's the end of the trailer is going to have the end scene of the movie or something, because the trailers tend to tell things straight through. Okay. Well everybody go see that and listen to Allison Rosen as your new best friend. And what's the one you do with Greg Fitzsimmons?
So I have three podcasts. Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend, Childish with Greg Fitzsimmons, and then I host or co-host Upworthy Weekly, which is a lighthearted news podcast that comes out on Saturdays. People might be familiar with Upworthy, and they now have a podcast, and I am co-hosting it. Everyone check it out, please.
Who's on that with you?
Do you know Todd Perry? He used to work at KLSX.
I don't know him, but the two of you...
He's delightful. We do. Yes, we disagree on a lot of stuff. He has two tortoises and he didn't tell me that until far into our working relationship because he worried that I would think he's like a creepy reptile guy. And I just feel like if you have two tortoises, you should lead with that because it's fascinating. He and I have very different opinions about the Mariah Carey Christmas song. We have different opinions about zucchini. It keeps it fun.
I mean, yeah, that sounds intense.
It sounds like you still get along.
Wow. And I'm sorry, what's the Greg Fitzsimmons word called again?
That's called childish.
Childish. There you go. Yeah, and that's about raising kids.
We call it our parenting-ish podcast because in theory it's about parenting, but we oftentimes will be like, we should mention our kids because we end up not talking about parenting a lot. We talk about our lives.
Yeah.
But in theory it's about parenting.
Well, all right. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Here's the Doug plugs for this episode. Doug Loves Movies is back at Dynasty Typewriter with a live audience on Saturday, September 17th at 4:20 in Los Angeles. And then we're doing it at the Punchline in San Francisco on Saturday, October 15th, also at 4:20. All my dates and deets and links are at DougLovesMovies.com. What a great time this has been today. Three wonderful guests. I'll say their names one more time. Brandon Collins, Allison Rosen. I'm sorry, Allison. I'm going back to my old alphabetical.
It's okay. I get it. It's all right.
All right. And hang on a second. I got to mentally prepare myself for this last one. Jess. Oh, my God. My lips are trembling. They want to say more syllables. Thompson.
That's it. You got it.
That's all we needed. Thanks, everybody.
This was so much fun. Thank you.
I always end every episode with the last line from a motion picture. And today I had a hectic morning, so I didn't bother to, you know, do the research and pick, like, I probably would have picked like a Tim Burton movie. But let's ask Jess to help us out here. Do you have, from your, you know, movie going lifetime of movie watching and being a filmmaker, do you have a favorite last line in a movie?
Oh God, I can think of my favorite lines, but now I'm trying to think.
I mean, last lines are weird because they're either just sort of, you know, just sort of a vague, like it doesn't necessarily happen.
Yeah. I've always relied on the kindness of strangers. Is that a last line?
Last line. I think she says that to somebody at the very earlier on.
Oh, I thought it was at the end when they're taking her away.
Oh no, that's I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Yeah, it's a different one. Oh yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's true.
All right, but that's a.
I'm gonna steal that one then.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, I might have done it on the show before, but I'm happy to do it again because that's the thing is Billy Wilder, the, you know, writer director of that movie. That sort of seemed to be something he was gunning for. Is like, you know, The Apartment and some all movies have like kind of a great last line.
Oh, have one. I just thought of one.
Okay.
Casablanca. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
All right. Yeah, that's another amazing one.
Classic.
All right. And this is, I believe. So I will close it out with that. Thanks again, everybody. As always, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Love it.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.